On Thursday, the 10th of October, Bard College will feature author Isabella Tree presenting her new book, Wilding, Returning Nature to Our Farm. Winner of the 2019 Richard Jefferies Prize for Nature Writing and chosen by Smithsonian as a top 10 science book for the year. The event takes place at 5 p.m. in Weiss Cinema, Bertelsmann Campus Center. The event is sponsored by the Bard Center for Civic Engagement, Offices of Sustainability, Environmental and Urban Studies Program, as well as the Lifetime Learning Institute. Isabella Tree writes for publications such as National Geographic and The Guardian and is author of 5 nonfiction books. The latest is the story of the pioneering rewilding project in West Sussex, where she lives with her husband. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Isabella Tree to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Very nice to have you here, and we'll be even nicer to have you in the region on October 10th at Bard College. So give us a sense of this work, this book, of how it came about, which is a long way of asking of how you came to this project in West Sussex.
Yeah, well, it's a small story in a sense, because it's just our personal story of how we move from being intensive farmers to rewilding. But I think it has big implications, and we're beginning to realize that actually it applies to pretty much the situation across the world. It's about a change of mindset and how we get more nature back into our landscapes, not just in our nature reserves, but right up close to us in our own backyard. So with our particular situation, my husband and I inherited a farm. It's a large farm by English standards. It's 3,500 acres just south of London, about 40 miles south of central London, in the very busy, congested area of southeast England. And when we inherited it in the 1980s from my husband's grandparents, it was intensive arable and dairy, and it was already making big losses. We thought, I suppose, with a sort of optimism of youth, that we could turn its fortunes around. My husband had been trained at agricultural college, and so for 17 years we did what every farmer is supposed to do. We bought bigger machinery, invested in different types of crops, we used all the latest technology, we amalgamated dairies, bought state-of-the-art dairy parlors, you name it. And still, after 16 or 17 years, our debts were higher than ever. We were £1.5 million in debt, and we knew we couldn't go on any longer. Selling the land wasn't an option for us because this estate has been in my husband's family for over 2 centuries. And we wanted to do something really that was going to work with the land rather than battle against it all the time. The thing is, we're on very, very heavy clay. It's absolutely unforgiving stuff. We're on 320 meters of clay over a bedrock of limestone. And so sometimes in a wet winter, you can't get heavy machinery onto the land for 6 months at a time. You can't do any maintenance. You can't sow spring crops. So you can't compete with farms on better soils. So we knew that intensive farming wasn't for us. But we had an amateurish love of nature. And we encountered this amazing Dutch ecologist who was making waves in Europe with his ideas about grazing herbivores. And his theories are, if you get some of the megafauna back into the landscape, the bison, the ancient horse, the cattle, the elk, the reindeer, the red deer, beavers, wild boar, if you get these animals back into the landscape, the animals that would have been here pre-human impact, you can kickstart natural processes again. And we thought this was a really interesting experiment. If we could release some free-roaming animals, if we couldn't have, you know, species that we've already hunted to extinction in the UK, we could use proxies of them. So we have Old English Longhorn, we have cattle, we have Exmoor ponies being a very good proxy for the original Tarpan horse, and we have Tamworth pigs standing in for wild boar, and we have red deer and roe deer and fallow deer. So they're all different mouthpieces in the landscape, doing different disturbances, rootling, trampling, breaking branches, debarking trees, generally causing a lot of disturbance. And, of course, their dung helps stimulate the, the soil regeneration. And what we've seen is just an explosion of wildlife on our tiny patch. We, apart from the large herbivores, we haven't introduced anything else. They've just found us because of the habitat is now there. We now have some of the rarest species in Britain. We have nightingales, turtle doves, purple emperor butterflies, things that are about to go extinct in Britain have now found us and are breeding on NEP. So it's been an astonishing success story in less than 20 years.
And what does it mean for the day-to-day of the farm, of that unit of what we think of as a farm?
Well, the wonderful thing about rewilding is that it's all about human beings taking a back seat and letting the free-roaming herbivores do the management of the system for you. So you're really letting nature take the driving seat. So in terms of management, there's very, very little to do apart from maintain the perimeter fence so that the animals don't get onto roads, and until we can join up with other bigger areas with land bridges over our roads, we have to maintain that sort of fencing. But other than that, we have one stockman who looks after the livestock, as opposed to 10 men working the farm when we were intensively farming. And we, in farming terms at least, all we do now really is we produce meat from the culling of the animals. We keep the stocking density very low so that there is this endless kind of battle, if you like, between the animal disturbance and the vegetation coming up. So you don't want too many animals because that will turn the area into overgrazing, the kind of landscape we're familiar in our intensively managed agricultural land. And you don't want too few either, because then that will turn into closed canopy woodland, which again is a very undynamic, relatively species poor habitat. What you want is that kind of battle where neither wins. You've got vegetation coming up and getting more and more complex as the animals browse and graze it. And that creates all these messy margins where the rest of wildlife thrives. So in terms of management of the landscape itself, there's very little. But now, of course, we have not other income streams. So apart from the meat sales, we have an ecotourism business. We have a safaris run on sort of an African sort of scale, not quite the weather of the Serengeti, but we have our big five, and we take people around in open-sided safari vehicles to look at this amazing wildlife that's come back. And then we have glamping and camping. And so the ecotourism business and our sort of fledgling farm shop, that's what takes much of our time. And that's now employing a lot more people. We have, I suppose, 8 or 9 part-time safari guides now. And then we have farm buildings that really used to just cost us an arm and a leg to keep the roof on. We're never bringing in any rent. We've converted those for light industrial use, storage and office space. So there's an increasing demand in the southeast of England where we are for people who don't want to sit in a traffic jam for 2 hours to get to work, but would like to sit in an office where they can look out of their window on Tamworth pigs diving for swan mussels in a lake. And so
those
buildings themselves employ 200 people. So that's a significant, you know, pullback of people into the rural community.
The event takes place Thursday, October 10th. Bard College will feature Isabella Tree presenting her new work, Wilding, Returning Nature to Our Farm. The event takes place at 5 p.m. You can find out more by going to bard.edu, bard.edu. Isabella, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.